Well, hello, hello. We are here for binge-free brain beliefs overhaul. And really, this is the glue that brings it all together and that's going to hold all of this together as you are understanding and learning the inside workings of your binge-free brain and how to make that your default. So remember, you don't lack willpower or, you know, you're not self-sabotaging and you are definitely not an addict, but you're probably, up until now, you've been using conscious thought to solve an unconscious problem. And that's why we're here. Because in other words, your brain learned a certain program around food that's causing you to overeat. And those patterns got fired and wired in your brain alongside food. But now we are here because you are aware, you're awake, and now you understand why you do what you do. But also the unconscious has become conscious. Like, you are no longer sleepwalking, and you are going to see, we are going to continue bringing awareness to what's been in your subconscious mind through these beliefs overhauls. But you're also doing something about it. It's no longer just words, you are in action. So, that being said, it's time to continue solving the right problem as you have finally been doing and start addressing the beliefs that are keeping you stuck in behaviors, okay? So that being said, you are going to get the opportunity to borrow my beliefs, okay? We are going to remove weeds and plant new seeds. And this is where we have to address this massive piece of the puzzle, which is your beliefs. And there are so many beliefs in your self-conscious and subconscious that need to be overhauled. And we spend a lot of time on this in my flagship program of Stressless Eating. But these were the three, I'm gonna share with you three beliefs that have to do, that will undermine your binge-free brain if you don't address them. But just know that the process I'm teaching you, it goes way beyond these beliefs, but we're getting really nitty-gritty for this, okay? And here's the reality. Your brain already has a garden of beliefs, okay? You've been picking them up since you were a little girl, right? And, you know, things like you're not good enough or smart enough or pretty enough or worthiness of love and belonging. Or maybe that you're a failure, right? Like, you're a success at everything except for food and your body, right? Or there's those micro beliefs that come alongside or get laid down on top of those other big beliefs. Like, you know, I just don't finish what I start, or, you know, all of those food and body beliefs, like, you know, I'll always be an addict, which we're going to get into that, right? But you need to weed the garden and plant new seeds. And that's what we're here to do, specifically around the part of your brain that's using food to fill some sort of void when you are not even hungry, okay? And so you're gonna get to borrow my beliefs. I'm gonna literally lay down the beliefs of myself and that have worked for hundreds of my one-on-one clients. But you really just need to know that beliefs are what are shaping your behaviors. And in other words, your behaviors will follow your beliefs. And that's why it is so important to overhaul them. And don't underestimate the power of this, okay? It is very easy, very simple to just write it off. But I'm telling you, it will transform your life and your brain if you allow it to, okay? And that's why we've got to rip out the weeds and plant new seeds. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing. Because keep in mind, you're a storyteller, okay? You are a storyteller. And at any given moment, you can be feeding two different stories. And this is where you have a choice, right? There's those two wolves that we can feed. We've heard about the tale of two wolves, right? And you have a choice, and I mean this globally, but this is a major factor when creating an untriggerable and binge-free brain, because your beliefs dictate your behaviors, not the other way around, okay? And so this idea of you being a storyteller, you have a choice over which story you feed. And that's why it's crucial to remove any of those limiting beliefs that are holding you back and keeping you stuck. And there's like a non-truth, or maybe it's an outright lie that is just keeping you stuck. And we've got to plant new seeds and new stories and beliefs that will serve you, but that also feel really true to you, okay? Because yes, I'm going to let you borrow my beliefs, but in the end, you are going to be the end narrator of what you downloaded, right? Because if we don't find your truth and your language, it won't resonate. And this goes beyond the scope of this training, but when it comes to rewiring your brain, if you want something to last, It's got to be alongside something called positive neuroassociations in order for it to stick in your brain long term. And so if you want these beliefs to shift, so for example, a negative neuroassociation is when it doesn't resonate, it doesn't feel true, it's gonna create negative neuroassociations. But negative neuroassociations can also be laid down when you are forcing yourself, convincing yourself, persuading yourself to do things that you don't like to do, AKA the diet mentality, right? That's negative neuroassociations versus positive neuroassociations are when you are feeding yourself something that resonates, that meets you where you are, that feels good, that aligns. That's where we need to make sure those positive neuroassociations are being created because of the way that you're saying it's got to resonate, okay? That's why positive mantras and fake it till you make it or fake positivity does not work. So we've got to, because if it doesn't resonate again, you're going to lay down negative neuroassociations and your brain will never learn it. And so we've got to resonate your beliefs, but also meet you in your doubts. Okay, so that's why language is very important. And as I'm sharing mine, it's important that you tweak things so that it really resonates with you. And so the process that I'm going to teach you for overhauling your beliefs, you're going to see it's a three-step process, okay? The first step is the old belief. We're going to identify what is the old belief, what is not serving you, what is the lie, what is the drama, okay? And we're first going to identify it. Then we've got to tear it down. We've got to call BS on it. We've got to identify, why is it not true? Why is it maybe even possibly not true, right? Why is it not serving you? Or why is it a flat out lie or a fairy tale or a BS or something that doesn't have to be true, okay? And then of course, within that, sometimes you might find that you like hold yourself accountable in a negative way of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't do this, or why have I been thinking this long, right? And that's where you wanna make sure you're adding in a splash of forgiveness, which could literally just be as simple as like, hey, I didn't know what I didn't know and I couldn't see what I couldn't see, but now I'm here and I'm gonna be a truth teller from now on to myself about myself, right? And then the new belief, okay? We want to find a new empowering, but it's also got to be believable because, again, positive neuroassociations, it's got to resonate. You've got to believe it, but it's a belief that you want to step into. Even if it might not be there just yet, you believe that it's possible. It meets you where you are. And so before you write it down or before you vote on it, I really want you to make sure that you can come up with evidence that the new belief either like feels true or it's something that you're like, okay, I'm on this. Like I'm stepping into this. Like it's becoming true. Or maybe it just better serves you, or it's a more loving and patient and kind belief. But any of those things are what's going to create those positive neuroassociations as we go. Okay. So the other thing is, again, it's got to be your truth, right? It can't be, if you're secretly calling BS on it, that's not the one for you. You've got to make sure that it meets you where you are because, again, those positive neuroassociations, okay? So let's just dive on in to the first belief, a very common one that comes up when we reach for food when we aren't hungry. And remember, the old belief, it's not conscious. We're making the unconscious conscious. So now you might read this and you might say, like, I'm not actually saying that, but that's what the thing, it's what you're not saying. So your brain might be saying, when I'm bored, stressed, upset, fill in the blank, maybe it's anxious, when I'm lonely, when I'm sad, food will make me feel better. Or maybe you're saying, food is what I need right now. And again, it's not conscious, it's unconscious, but your brain is secretly saying, hey, when you're stressed, food is gonna make you feel less stressed. When you're bored, food is gonna fill that gap. When you're sad or lonely, food will be your boyfriend, your best friend, your companion, right? So that's the unconscious belief. Now, why is that BS? How can we tear it down? Well, the truth is when you look at it, it's actually like, we'll just use stress for example. When I'm stressed, eating will not only not do anything about the stress itself, but it's actually gonna make me more stressed because now I'm gonna feel guilt and shame and feel mad at myself about the food I just ate. So you're literally tearing it down of like, actually, no, when I'm stressed, food will not only not make me less stressed, it'll make me more stressed. And here's why, right? And so the new belief, it might have like bits of the in-between as well, but the new belief is something along the lines of like, nope, that is a lie, okay? When I'm bored or stressed or upset, it will not fill in the bored, stressed, upset gap. I've just wired my brain to think it will make me feel better, but what I really need is X, okay? And this is where we wanna go back to that connection audit that you discovered after the masterclass and in the implementation side of Binge Free Brain, and identify what, when I'm bored, what will really fill the gap for me when I'm bored? When I'm stressed, what will make me actually feel less stressed? When I'm sad or lonely, what do I need to hear or actually do, or what do I need to remember that will actually fill the gap of loneliness? And this is where it's about becoming emotionally available to yourself in these moments, okay? And so the new belief has got to be like, no, not only is that the lie, it won't fill that gap for me. I've just fired and wired my brain to think it will. But what I really need is X to fill in those, to help me in those moments, because food will never fill that void, okay? And again, I know this is a big topic, and that's why I've said to you from the very beginning, binge-free brain is really just a piece of this stressless eating and self-image puzzle. But like, when you can really tap in and use that connection audit, go back to the connection audit from the binge-free brain masterclass, but to identify like, when I'm feeling lonely, what will actually fill that void of loneliness? So for me, sometimes it's like, I need to connect with God, right? And I need to, for me, I connect with Jesus. But some people, it's like connect with a friend. Some people, it's write in the journal. Sometimes it's like they just need to remember, like, no, you're not alone in this world, even when you think you are. Maybe they need to go for a walk or whatever it is. But like, first and foremost comes the idea of reminding yourself of like, no, that's the lie. Food is not what I use anymore to fill the gap of stress. Okay, so what does this look like practically? Okay, so what's gonna look like practically is the old belief is still going to show up, only now it's going to be conscious. So when you're bored and you're like wanting to reach for food, you're gonna be aware of like, oh, my brain is just telling me when I'm bored, stressed, sad, lonely, fill in the blank, food will make me feel better, or food is what I need right now. And now you're just going to consciously rewire the truth of like, nope, that's a lie. When I'm stressed, food's gonna not only make me like, not only fill, not fill the gap of stress, but it's gonna make me feel more stressed, right? And what I really need is X. I need to figure out what it would take for me to be emotionally available to myself in those moments. And you do that a few times and your brain will now have a map for this. But first we needed to make the unconscious conscious and give it a new set of beliefs. Now, everything I'm sharing, make sure that you're tweaking it so that the language resonates with you, because it's got to resonate and be your own language, but you can just borrow the gist of it from me. Okay, so that's the first belief, all right? You literally just wash, rinse, and repeat. The old belief is gonna come up. You're literally like labeling it like, oh, that's the lie. And then you're conditioning the new belief, okay? But you gotta condition the new belief. But first, you have to make the unconscious conscious, okay? So the next belief, and that's how you teach your brain a new program. The next belief is also a very common one. When you notice yourself feeling out of control of food or Netflix or whatever, oftentimes your brain, your conscious brain is like, oh, you shouldn't have it, right? But then your unconscious brain is like, I don't care. I just want it now. Or like, I don't care. I need it. I have to have it now, right? Or sometimes another like cousin of this belief is like, screw it, and then proceed to reach for the food. But that is the lie, okay? The lie is I do care and I don't actually need it now. I've just fired and wired my brain to think that I need it now or to think that I don't care. But the new truth is, no, I actually do care. And this is where I invite you to get defiant, right? Saying something like, no, I am so done believing the lie that I don't care, because I do care. And this is not me being an addict or having no control. Again, I've just fired and wired my brain to think I don't care or to think I don't have control right now. But that's because my brain needs something that I am not giving it. Again, remember from the masterclass, your brain is overfed and undernourished. You're giving it endless amounts of dopamine, but you're not giving it the connection that it needs, right? The oxytocin. So then here again, what does it look like for you to be emotionally available to yourself? And what I really need when I think I don't care is, again, fill in the blank in those moments, because food will never fill that void. But in the meantime, I do care and I'm working on it. And I put in parentheses or something like that, because again, you've got to find what resonates with you, okay? Now, this might be the first layer of it, right? The next layer might be like really getting conscious and really being like, no, I do care and I know this will never fill that void, and I'm done believing the lie that I don't, right? And that's enough. Right? Even just reminding yourself that you don't care. It's going to be different for everyone, but I want you to notice that when you say, I don't care, I just want it now, or I don't care, I just need it, I have to have it now, that is a lie. Because the truth is that you do care, But your brain has been fired and wired to think that you don't, because it's been conditioned to not get what it really needs in that moment and be given endless amounts of dopamine, and instead neglecting to give it what it really needs. So part of it is you're literally like adulting yourself with these new beliefs. You're like, no, silly, like I love you, but that's a lie. Like what's really happening is X, right? So you're relinquishing shame, but then you're also saying this is what you really need. This is what your brain is actually craving to be given, right? And so again, what it looks like practically, the old belief is still going to show up, and only now it's conscious. You're going to see, I don't care. You're going to see, I just want it now. And the new belief is like, no, that's a lie. I do care. I'm done believing that I don't care. And I'm not an addict. I've just fired and wired my brain to think I am, because my brain needs something that I haven't been giving it. Here's how what I'm going to give it now. I'm committed. What I really need is X. To AKA be emotionally available to myself. Look at that connection audit from the masterclass. And then reminding yourself food will never fill that void. But in the meantime, I do care and I'm working on it, right? Or something like that. Okay, so the old belief will show up, but now it's conscious. You're no longer sleepwalking and just thinking that it's true, right? And now you have a new belief and you're calling it out. You're like, no, that's a lie, brain. Don't believe it. Okay, wash, rinse, and repeat this. And if you do this a few times, your brain will have a map for this, okay? And your brain will learn this as a new program. And eventually your brain's just not gonna crave it like it did, because it's gonna start giving, you're gonna be giving yourself oxytocin instead of those endless amounts of dopamine. So it's happening from both ends. The beliefs and the behaviors are changing, and it's so beautiful how it works together, okay? And then let's just do one more. So this one is interesting. Now, this goes a lot deeper because we're obviously not getting into the entire self-image and identity here in Binge Free Brain. But one of the old beliefs is like, well, I'm a sugar addict, or I'm a social media or alcohol addict, or, you know, this is how I'll always be, right? And obviously alcohol is a different animal because it's something that you can abstain from, right? You can't just abstain from food. But these are the kinds of things that linger with a lot of my clients are, you know, have been sober from alcohol for many years, and they come to me and they still have, these fired and wired patterns. So just keep in mind, like anytime you label yourself as an addict, whether it's food or alcohol, it's still a label and an identity, and it's a belief, right? And so the teardown is like, well, actually, no. And this, I'm putting the teardown and the new belief together just so you can see what it looks like when you just combine the two. But the new belief is something along the lines of like, well, no, I've just practiced using sugar addictively, and there's a way to use it non-addictively where it doesn't own me anymore. But as long as I treat myself or buy into the lie that I'm an addict or I'm broken or messed up, I might as well give up on it altogether, because it denotes that I'm powerless to influence. Now, by the way, I'm just giving you an example of what this new belief could be, but you could borrow mine and make your own. But let me just stop right there before I go on. The reason this is so valid is because the belief of like, I'm an addict is what I call a game over belief, okay? Because it denotes that you are powerless to control it. It's something that you need to just accept or resign to, versus like, no, I've practiced using sugar addictively and I can practice using it non-addictively, right? But that means I can't use it to be a coping mechanism anymore. Sugar can just be sugar, right? But I also love this belief because it shows that you don't have to just abstain from sugar the rest of your life. You can have it, but you want to be mindful of who you're being. Are you using it as a drug, as a dopamine hit? Or are you using it just as a tool of deliciousness and awesomeness and fun and flavor and all those things, but it's not filling this emotional void any longer, right? Okay, so picking up where I left off, right? One of the things that helps my clients, and the reason I put these in there too, is because sometimes it helps when my clients remind themselves that they're not alone. So after the part where I said, no, I've just practiced using it addictively and there's a way to use it non-addictively where it doesn't own me, the next part where it says, my brain, just like Leanne's brain, and that's where I added that in because a lot of my clients find it helpful to realize like, no, my brain got fired and wired just like Leanne's did, just like millions of other women did, and it reminds you that you're not crazy, that you're not an addict, that you're not alone, right? So I put that in there just to denote, but it says my brain, just like Leanne's brain, fired and wired sugar in a way to crave it and feel like I'm an addict, to feel controlled by it and I can unwire it and rewire it anytime I choose, but I refuse to believe the lie that this is just who I am or I'm destined to be an addict forever. Do you see how we're taking back power from the lie? We are literally declaring, like, no, I refuse to buy into that identity any longer. Can you see how if you didn't overhaul this belief or any of the beliefs that we're talking about, how they would just create more of the same behavior? Because then unconsciously you'd be thinking, oh, I'm an addict. What's it matter anyways? Or unconsciously you'd be thinking, well, no, when I'm sad, lonely, or bored, food's the only thing that can make me feel better, right? Or when you are feeling those things too and you reach for it and you're like, I don't care that it's not good for me. I don't care. I just want it now. That would dominate as well. So that's why it's so important to make sure you're making the unconscious conscious and creating a new belief. And all these new beliefs that I'm sharing, take what resonates, ditch the rest, make sure it meets you where you are in your beliefs, because resonance is what we need for those positive neuro associations. Okay. So again, just like the others, what it looks like practically is the old belief is going to show up, but now it's conscious and you're going to be able to label it like, oh my gosh, there's the lie. I see you, lie. I see you, brain, right? With compassion and love, and then recondition the new belief. Wash, repent, rinse, and repeat that new belief, and your brain will learn it. It will learn this new program, okay? So here's the big lessons, okay? The old belief, it was unconscious, but it's just a story. It's drama. It doesn't have to be there, but it might just feel really true. It might not feel like a lie because you've practiced it for so long, but just as quickly as you learn the old non-serving lie of a story, you can learn a new one, okay? But as long as it resonates with you, okay? And then of course, the new belief, it's got to be your truth. It's got to actually feel true to you. It's got to be your words, your language, your intentions, and your, or else your brain will call BS on it and it will lay down negative neuro associations, because positive neuro associations come from resonance, okay? Resonating with you. And then, of course, the in-between, we had to call BS on the old belief. We had to remind your brain of like, oh no, that's the lie. And here's why it's not true. Here's why it's not serving you. Here's why it's flat out BS or a fairy tale. Okay, it's important. We had to break it down with logic and reason because our brain thought it was true for so long and it didn't see it. And of course, if you need to, if you notice yourself being harsh on yourself, add in a splash of forgiveness. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see. Okay, remember, we are all storytellers. It literally becomes a matter of, are you feeding, continuously sleepwalking and letting the old unconscious belief take over? Or are you feeding a new story so that new behaviors and habits can come off the back of it? You really do have the power to choose. Okay. So the process, again, you're going to identify the old belief. What's the lie? What's the drama? What's the disempowering belief? We make it conscious. First it's unconscious, then it's conscious. Okay. Then we tear it down. We call BS on it. We meet our logic and reason brain where it is and remind it the truth. We reveal the light of why it's not true or why it can't be true. Add in that forgiveness. And then of course, the new empowering but believable belief that you want to step into, but make sure that you believe it to be true, or maybe like it, you're on it, like it's becoming true, right? And it better serves you and it's more loving and patient and kind, okay? And again, it's got to feel true to you or else it will lay down negative neuro associations. Okay, so that is it. Those are the three main beliefs overhauls for binge-free brain. Learn them, try them on, practice them. They will become your new truth if you get in the reps, all right? So try them on and I can't wait to hear how it goes.